Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And today we are on a journey. Call it a romp across technological landscapes that will take us from the NSA to Broadway, from digital high-tech interactivity, the stories told about us by our metadata interactions online, to the Cold War era symbiosis of Richard Nixon and his Soviet counterpart Leonid Brezhnev, to the low-tech but infinitely more complicated interactions and entanglements in the biological world. Technology, interactivity, and our deep interdependence as creatures, as humans. And what, you think this is some kind of time out from the news of the day, departure from current affairs? Surely you jest. This is straight from the headlines, folks, and we begin with the latest from online info villain or hero of interactivity, call him what you will, former NSA contractor Edward J. Snowden. His digital revelations about how the government can and does observe what we are all doing, their form of interactivity. Those revelations have entered yet another dimension. A new investigation by Siobhan Gorman, intelligence correspondent for The Wall Street Journal, reveals just how telecom and internet companies work with the National Security Agency in a kind of public-private alliance, conspiracy, call it what you will, to filter and exchange communications data, foreign and domestic. On this scale, perhaps foreign and domestic is an impossible distinction to make. Gorman's report comes as we learn that the so-called FISA court system that is supposed to oversee all this surveillance technology has had a rather testy relationship with the NSA regarding tens of thousands of American emails netted by the NSA between 2008 and 2011. Lots to talk about here. Siobhan Gorman, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you.
So let's talk about these complicated relationships, dare I say, symbiosis between the internet companies and the various telecom and communications companies in the private sector?
Well, it's certainly a very close relationship, but it is one forged under a court order. So the telecommunications companies don't actually have the option to say no. The way that it works is the NSA gets a very broad order from the aforementioned FISA court, presents it to a telephone company, say AT&T, which says we need to set up an arrangement. So whenever we have a particular foreign intelligence interest, you need to go through your networks, your corporate networks, and give us a stream of data through which we can look for the specific pieces of foreign intelligence that we are interested in. So the filtration looking for this foreign intelligence data has two steps. The first step is done by the telecommunications company. They provide a stream or a subset of their communications data to the NSA. Then they look through that smaller stream, which is most likely to have their information in it, and they pick out the bits that they need and they dump the rest.
Trying to figure out the due process here, as far as you understand it, if the NSA comes to me as Verizon or AT&T and says, we need this, we want to look at this, do they come armed with a FISA court approval to do this, or does the telecom company have the option of appealing that decision, saying, no, I don't want to, I want to check with a court first before they comply with the NSA?
Well, they do come armed with a court order. However, some of the government people I spoke with said, well, do remember that there are lawyers at these telephone companies, and they do at least raise questions. So the NSA has been doing this kind of surveillance in coordination with the phone companies for some years now. So they also have a little bit of a give and take. And what you do see, as far as it's been explained to me, is a different set of arrangements that is specific to each phone company. So some of the equipment, for example, that is used at one phone company might be a different set of equipment at another. And in speaking with people in private industry, we definitely have the sense that some phone companies do push back a little bit more than others.
But it's far from an actual voice of the consumer. There's nobody advocating really for individual consumers who don't want to be looked at by the government in these transactions, right?
Not so much in this process, unless the lawyer for a phone company is that person.
Let's talk about scale. What are they looking at? What do they have the capacity to see on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? And is there any way to distinguish between foreign and domestic in this scale of data surveillance, data mining?
What they've done is set up a system where, through arrangements with phone companies, the whole system has coverage over 75% of U.S. telecommunications, roughly. But that's because the individual telecommunications companies taken all together cover about that amount of communications. So the relationship provides them an indirect way to essentially query the entire system for information it's looking for. But the government officials we spoke with were very clear and very adamant that they do not reach into the phone company networks and get information. They give the phone companies the parameters of the types of information they're looking for, and then the phone company sends them these streams of data where it's difficult to calculate how much data that is. I really did try to get that. I was told, well, it's more than just the individual pieces that NSA is looking for, but it's less than everything. So it's somewhere between those two things.
All right, so let's talk about the foreign domestic distinction. This data doesn't come labeled foreign or domestic. It can have
Correct.
Various origins. How difficult Right. is that?
Well, it's incredibly difficult, and in fact, in our reporting, we bumped into a piece of the story that broke yesterday, which is that for a period of about 3 years or so, NSA's systems were not configured in a way that could draw a distinction between foreign and domestic communications, and when it got the domestic communications, it wasn't applying enough privacy protections, according to what the court found. So the problem is that in modern telecommunications, both foreign and domestic communications are literally physically bundled together and cannot actually be separated, and NSA's machines are programmed to take the whole bundle when they can't be separated. And so that means that then it ends up with a bunch of wholly domestic communications sitting in its databases, and the FISA court had a real problem with that.
Finally, Siobhan, how surprised were you by the intensity of, it seems anyway, of the FISA court's pushback in this interaction over technology and distinguishing domestic and foreign surveillance that was disclosed this week?
I thought it was fascinating because the judge was very strong in his wording, saying that the government was not trying hard enough to apply appropriate privacy protections to explore different technology, and in order to make sure that these wholly domestic communications were not just thrown right into NSA's databases with everything else.
Siobhan Gorman, intelligence correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks as always.
Thank you.